Welcome to the Fairly Bold Podcast. My name is Eugenia, but you can call me E. Here we talk all about leadership, femininity, and of course, relationship. Today, we have Daria Knish. She's an intuitive business coach, and this interview is amazing. It's really, really interesting. Even there were a couple of times where I forgot that I was interviewing her, and I just got lost in listening. And then I had to go back like, okay, what was I saying? Because it's that interesting. Her story is so fascinating. But what I really loved was learning that there's actually a science to intuition. It's not only that thing that's floating in the air and we don't know what it is or how to access it. And there is actually science and levels. And of course, we could have gone 4 hours deep into this interview. But I think that today is going to give you enough for you to understand how to access even more your intuition. We've talked about intuition before, and I know you loved that episode with Maria Arana. So today we're going to go a little bit deeper to discuss intuitive business. If you're struggling to apply intuition to your business and your career, I know that this happens for a lot of us. And even if you think that there's no way that you can connect the two, Daria is going to show you how, and it's more simple than you think. But first, I have to tell you about today's partner, Flowdesk. If you're subscribed to my newsletter, you've probably been getting some beautiful emails, and I would love to take credit for their design. But truly, I have so many talents, but design is not one of them. And designing something beautiful takes me hours or even days, and Flowdesk just makes it so, so easy. The truth, I have the best help in the world with Flowdesk. They are a female-founded email marketing platform, and they truly represent what Fairly Bold is about. They are feminine, intuitive, they're powerful, assertive, effective, and just gets the job done. Quick, easy, effective, it's perfect. Whether you are an entrepreneur, you're a network marketer, a blogger, a podcaster, or just really serious about building your personal brand, which I highly recommend, you need to start building your email list. And girl, truly, email has been there for so long, so it's time to step up the email marketing game. So just go to bit.ly/bold email. That is bit.ly/bold email, and you will get 50% off your subscription. Truly, it doesn't get better than that. And if you couldn't catch it, I'm going to leave it down below so you can just go click it and start creating amazing and high converting emails. And with that, let's enjoy today's conversation with Daria.
So I am so happy to have Daria here today. I'm ashamed to admit that this woman is younger than me because I go to her for so much advice. And that's when you say that the age is just a number. So Daria, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. I feel like I'm bringing the true MVP to my podcast.
Well, thanks. And I definitely feel like we're basically the same age because I feel like we relate in so many different ways.
For sure. And so I gave a little summary of your journey, but I would love for you to introduce yourself because your story is so powerful for this topic that I think that hearing it straight from your mouth is going to be very, very powerful.
Sure. So I always grew up being an intuitive kid, and I didn't even know what that meant, obviously. But in college, I was actually studying neuroscience because I wanted to be a neuroscience researcher, and I was planning to get my PhD and everything. So I had resisted a lot of it and kind of forgot about my own intuitive nature. And it really took me starting my own blog, which I did, as this massive radical shift from, again, wanting to study neuroscience, wanting to become a neuroscientist, to just deciding to take the leap and wanting to travel the world, wanting to start my travel blog and just go for it. So me starting that, I had to get more in touch with my creative side. And naturally, some of that more logical parts of myself started to fall away a little bit, piece by piece, as I started really tapping more into my creativity and more into my intuition. And as I did that, and as I started exploring these new parts of myself, I started really falling in love with the business side of blogging and of blog coaching when I started that as well. So when I decided to pivot and transition into intuitive business coaching, it felt so natural and amazing and just exactly where I needed to be because I had already been using these skills and tools that are innately inside of me for the entire time that I was building my business, even when I didn't know it. I basically just used all of these things that I hadn't really been taught, not explicitly at least, but I knew what I was doing somehow. So I don't know if it was all the podcast episodes I was listening to, like this one, or if it was just people I was following that were inspiring me. But somehow I just kept following that, those little pings, those little nudges that my intuition was giving me. And in turn, I had built this amazing six-figure business that I'm so just in love with and feel so aligned with.
I love it. And before going more in depth into intuition, I love that you know that you had that intuition in you, even though you didn't know what it was. And your first experience, at least professionally, was dropping out of a very highly coveted career. And that would be very respected, especially you are also an immigrant, a daughter of an immigrant. So I know that for immigrants, education and just having high status through academia is very, very valuable. How did you know intuitively that it was the right move for you at that time, leaving that neuroscience career and changing and pivoting into something completely different?
Whenever I make decisions, I always wait for what I call the full body yes. And so many people call this so many different things, but for me, it's like a true just body knowing of this is what I'm meant to do. And there, the basically how I came across blogging even, I knew it was something that existed out there. I knew I would eventually want to start a blog because I loved writing. I loved being creative. I knew I had a lot to say. I knew a lot of friends came to me for advice about random things kind of all over the place. And I knew I loved to travel and that I could really monopolize off of that. But I didn't know when I would start this or what I would do with it until I was actually studying for an exam, like really late into the night. I think it was 3 a.m. And I was just like in the books and getting really tired. So I decided to go on Pinterest for a bit. And you know, I love Pinterest, my favorite thing ever. So I was just scrolling around there. I think I was actually looking for like inspiration for notes, because when I take pretty notes, then at least it makes me a little bit more motivated. And I came across this one blogger who was making upwards of about $20,000 a month just with her blog. And it was about all the different things. So she didn't really have a super specific niche, which I don't know about your audience, but I'm assuming there's a lot of multi-passionate women listening. And I think we're often told with blogging that we have to niche down so specifically and know exactly this one topic that we're blogging about. But this one woman who I saw, it was basically an article about her. She is what I call an expander for me. So she expanded my view of what was possible. And it was literally that night, a few hours later, that I just made the decision that I was going to not go to grad school, not get my PhD, not become a neuroscientist, and just find a way to make this my livelihood and make money blogging. And I didn't know how I was going to do it. But again, because I got that full body yes, which at the time, it was like a screaming yes, because now I'm a little bit more in tune to more of the subtleties of that intuition. But before, it was just like, nope, this is exactly what I'm going to be doing. And even if I don't know if it's like my final plan, which I kind of knew it wasn't, I knew I wasn't just going to be blogging all the time, like forever for the rest of my life, I just knew it was the next right step.
Did you experience a crush afterwards? Because I feel like when you have that moment, aha moment of clarity, afterwards you crash. You're like, oh my God, this is stupid. Did you experience that? And if you did, how do you deal with that?
I don't know if it was necessarily a crash. I think it was more just throughout the last few years, endless moments of doubt would always come up. And that's just part of the deal. Anytime you're going to go do something amazing and out of your comfort zone, you know that that's going to be coming up. But I think because I was listening to a lot of podcasts, reading books, you know, looking, basically following other business owners and coaches and influencers who were talking a lot about these things, like let's say imposter syndrome and mindset, I kind of knew what to expect. So I had that, I wasn't going into it blindly, but at the same time, I was going to it a little bit naively. Like I knew what to expect and I was like, oh, I'll know how to work through this with me. So that naivety actually kind of helped me, because when those feelings would come up, I would just be like, oh, cool. There it is. Like there's the imposter syndrome. There's that feeling that people talk about. There's XYZ money mindset issue, let's say. So it became a little bit easier, but it wasn't like an immediate crash, let's say. It was like constant moments that would feel like they knocked me down and I'd have to find a way to build myself back up and build that confidence again.
And this leads me to this question, which I asked on a previous episode, but I'm very curious to know your take on this. And it's the doubt that there is, people don't know when it's intuition and when it's fear, because sometimes your intuition tells you to stay put, to stay wherever you are. Your intuition can tell you it's not the time yet. But some people could look at it and say, oh, you're just afraid of the next step. So how can a person differentiate when it's time to stay put because that's the right thing to do right now, and when it's time to move forward and just quiet that fear?
Yeah, this is probably the question I get asked most often after maybe just, what is intuition? So intuition versus fear. The way that you know is really by training yourself to know. And I know that's not the answer most people want. It's like you have to continuously practice exactly what I'm about to say. Something to note is that whenever it's fear, at least for me and for a lot of my clients, the way that it shows up is very frantic energy. It feels, it's like, you need to take action now. You need to do this now. You need to, like, for example, a lot of people are afraid of flying. So they'll get that fear of like, you need to get off this plane now. Something bad's going to happen. We're going to crash, yada, yada, yada. And your intuition is never going to be like that. Intuition is very immediate, subtle, and quiet. It'll feel like a whisper most often. Even if it is that full body yes, like I said, it'll still just be like, it's a very calm energy. It's not going to rush you. And even if you don't take action on your intuition right away, it'll keep coming back over and over again, sometimes in the most unexpected ways. So I like to kind of bring it to an example. So let's say we're deciding, should I quit my job and start this new business, start this blog, start this whatever it is that I want to do? Now, if you're noticing that the feeling, which let's say we don't know if it's intuition or fear yet, but let's say you're noticing that feeling is coming up every time you go to pay for groceries and you're like, oh my God, I'm pulling out my card and I have to pay like $100 right now. And then you start getting this like, should I even be doing this? Should I do this? If you're noticing the pattern that that feeling seems to be coming up every time you're doing something, let's say around money or around self-worth, or maybe that feeling comes up every time that you go to, you know, create a post explaining your new business, or every time you want to share it with your family, and then that like is coming up. It seems like there's kind of a pattern there that it seems to be coming up every single time you seem to be doing something that might be scary to your subconscious mind, or what I call the ego, which is really just the self. It's not a negative thing in any way. It's just what you say when you say I, basically. However, intuition, it might hit you out of nowhere. It might be you going to sleep and it just being like, hey, you know, that job that you're at, that's no longer working for you. Like, you know that, right? And for me, I actually...
Like a nice friend, like, hey.
Yeah, girl. Yeah, exactly. It's like, I think of it as kind of like the fairy godmother, where your intuition is kind of going to like sweep in, but they're not going to force you to do anything, right? Like think about Cinderella. Fairy godmother just offered her tools of how to make it to the ball. She didn't necessarily tell her like, you need to get in this carriage right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it'll be very subtle. And often... Like for me, it was very much a feeling of like, even before I saw that article about this one blogger, it was like a, what are you doing? You know, this isn't right for you. You know that you've been feeling kind of wrong about this, and this doesn't feel aligned, and it doesn't light you up, and it doesn't make you feel good. And those words resonated with me because I'm all about seeking pleasure and play and fun. Mm. And even when it comes to being disciplined, I still kind of gamify my own business and everything like in that way. So for me, like I'm very motivated by that. So I knew that when I wasn't experiencing that excitement around what I was doing with my major in neuroscience anymore, then that meant something was wrong.
That is super interesting. And you said something as you were talking about how you wanted that freedom, I started thinking, but what about discipline? And then you brought it up. So mm-hmm. I think that there's a line that you really are really good at managing. And I would like for you to speak on this, is that you talk about being unapologetically yourself. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love how you talk about it. But I think that the term or that word can be very dangerous because there's a line between being who you are and knowing when it's time to apologize or when it's time to have some boundaries. And so that is like one of these pop culture terms that are super hot right now. What is being unapologetically yourself truly means?
So I'll tell you what it's not, first of all, being unapologetic. It is not just making excuses over and over again for acting like a not so great person. And it is not an excuse to keep basically just living in your own old patterns over and over again that are not serving you in any way and are not helping you become more of who you want to be. So when it comes to being unapologetically yourself, you have to first decide who is the self that you actually want to be. Are you being that person now? Like, who is she or he or anyone? Who is the person that you want to become? Who is your highest self, your ideal self, your quantum co-creatrix self, something that one of my coaches calls it. Define that person for yourself. How does she think? What does she believe? How does she act? What does she wear in the mornings? What is her morning routine like? Who is in her inner circle? What does she do for fun? What does she do for work? Like, define all of these things and then notice where there are discrepancies with how you're acting now. And when you get super clear on that, that's the part that most people are most afraid of. So they can't even go into this process of becoming that person because they don't even want to define how they're not currently being that person now. But when you do that, you have to first start being unapologetic there, because the thing is, you're not criticizing yourself for not being there yet. Not at all. If it was all so easy, we'd all be there already. We'd all be making the money that we want and having the friendships and relationships that we want and living everywhere we want. But that's not always the case, because we're here living this human experience and we have to learn lessons and sometimes deal with hardships and all those things. So first, like, getting clear on that, and then being okay with you not being there yet, having compassion for yourself. And that's part of, that's the first step in being unapologetic.
Well,
it's owning where you're not showing up as you want to be, but also not being hard on yourself, because that's not going to help you change into the person you want to become either. And when it comes to making any kind of change in your life, you always have to make change at the identity level. So not just behavior, not just I'm going to be running 4 times a week, not just environment, I'm going to set up this amazing workspace and then I'm going to be super productive, but who are you actually being on an identity level? And if who you're being is not the identity of the person who has the things you want, who's living the life that you want, then great. Now you know exactly where to start. But on your way to becoming this person, be unapologetic in who you are now and still work on getting more of what you want by becoming more of who you want to be. So it's like this gentle balance of growth and compassion for yourself.
Yeah, I love it. Like, letting go of the shame.
Yes. Oh my God, so much shame.
And I feel like someone who's listening, and she might be the type of person who's like, I understand what you're saying. I feel like I should be working out more, or I would like to be the person who is like in shape and works out. And not even for the physical aspect of it, just because of her mind just is in a better space. But then in the morning, she just doesn't want to do it. And she knows what she wants to be. She does. She wants to be there. And she's like, oh, that's fine. I'm just not there yet. I'll just come up with the motivation one of these days. I'm going to be completely compassionate to my current situation and not wanting to work out. I'm just going to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's like a little step-by-step process that I would probably go through. So first, so she wants to work out, let's say 4 times a week. I don't know if that's the number you said. I can't remember, but let's say 4 times a week she wants to work out. Now, right now, what is she currently doing? Is she not working out at all? Let's just say she maybe works out like once every few weeks whenever she gets the motivation to.
Yeah, that's going on. She does like a video, like whatever video, and then she's good. It's just like, oh my God, I'm looking toned now.
Yeah, it's always like eats one salad. Man, is that abs? But anyway, so basically, right now, subconsciously, that person's identity is someone who does not work out very often, or maybe only works out every few weeks. And the thing is, you can consciously decide, oh, I want to do this, I'm going to be living as this, but your conscious mind only runs like 5% of the show, if that. Most of your actions, your daily actions, are running on autopilot based on the neural programming of your subconscious mind. Like the actual just like way that your mind connects, and it always wants to pick the most efficient way. So it's going to go with what it already knows how to do, because it just takes less brain power, and your body likes to stay efficient because it's part of how we survived as a species, was constantly preserving energy. Because we're not able to just like create our own out of nowhere, you know, we have to receive it from food and rest and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So knowing that right now, that woman's biggest goal, I guess you could say, or like biggest action step is starting to identify as the person who does work out four times a week. So what would that maybe look like? Well, a person who does work out four times a week, probably maybe that specific person, like her specifically, as someone who works out four times a week, might lay out her clothes the night before, might stock her fridge with healthy snacks, might make sure that the first thing she does in the morning is hydrate with a full glass of water, right? It's not even just about the working out, but it's like, who is the person who works out four times a week? What is she doing? And if the workout itself is too big of a leap, what are the micro things that are an absolute no-brainer? Is it literally just putting your shoes out the night before? If you do that enough, you're already training your subconscious mind to see something different, to find a new pattern, but a pattern that's not too complicated to switch into. It's not this huge jump into this like completely new identity. It's those little tiny shifts. And every time celebrating them, being like, look at that, I put my shoes out. Now I'm being the person who works out four times a week. Right? And just allowing your mind to keep finding those new, like little reasons to prove to yourself that you are in fact becoming that person. Or in my case, that you are in fact intuitive, that you are in fact an amazing business owner, that you can find clients, that you can have the business of your dreams. Like for me, anytime that, I don't know if you like to talk about manifestation at all, but anytime I manifest any amount of money, I am so grateful. Like I could find a penny on the street and I'd be like, thank you for this money, for this abundance, this wealth, because I'm training my mind to look for it more. So start finding ways to prove to your mind that you are being this person that you want to become, even if you're not quite there yet.
I love how you really go deep into the way your brain is wired, because some people think when they hear the word intuition that it's very mystical type of thing, that you need to almost like do a ritual to access it, and not necessarily. But there's something that I've heard a lot, and I don't know if it's factually true, and it's the fact that women, we are more naturally intuitive than men. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if they really explained the reason why, hormonally, let's say, but we do know that for sure. And I think anecdotally, you can ask anyone, right? Like talk about mother's intuition, let's say, but they've even proved like medical intuition or just intuition in general. So most people think that it's your third eye, your pineal gland or anything like that, that is the seat of your intuition, but it's actually your heart. And that sounds super cheesy if you haven't heard about it, but it's actually very scientific. So what happens is that your heart kind of acts like a portal for your intuition. It has its own electromagnetic system. So it's picking up on the energy going on around you all the time. And that's not just energy in terms of proximity, but online, anything like that. So think about when you happen to know that a friend is struggling, and maybe they're not saying it, but you sense it somehow in their text message and you don't know why. Yeah. That's your heart's electromagnetic field picking up on their energy there. So they did this study and they showed that basically they had two groups of people. And for both of these groups, they flashed different images on a screen, on a computer screen, that were supposed to evoke different emotions. So maybe there was something with anger, maybe there was like a flower, or some, I don't know, sadness, etc. Different emotions that were just going to be expected for that person to have a reaction to. And for one of the groups, they had them do a heart coherence meditation 5 minutes before, and on the other group, they didn't. And what a heart coherence meditation is basically a way to align the electromagnetic field of your brain and your heart together so that your brain can actually make sense of the messages coming in. Otherwise, there's like a disconnect, and that's where a lot of people end up self-sabotaging because they can't actually trust or hear their intuitive guidance that's happening all the time. So they do this heart coherence meditation, and that group that ended up doing that meditation ahead of time, they were able to accurately predict the emotional response seconds before it actually flashed on the screen. Now, they weren't explaining it or anything.
Wow.
They were just hooked up to a bunch of, you know, brain imaging software, and they could see that like the anger center of their brain was lighting up before that image flashed on screen.
Oh, wow. That's so interesting. I'm going to try to find it on YouTube and leave it below in the description notes so people can go look at it. I could ask you 1,000 more questions, but I feel like a lot of the things you do are very one-on-one based, and people would really benefit from working with you. How can they do that? Do you take one-on-one coaching? How can people work with you?
Yes, absolutely. So you can absolutely work with me in a number of ways. So I have a couple spots open right now for one-on-one intuitive business coaching. Now, this is for the person, I typically work with women, but anyone really, especially anyone who identifies as a woman. So anyone who is ready to combine both the intuition and this high-level strategy piece in order to scale to consistent 5K months. So it's a six-month program that we go through. So just DM me on Instagram. I'll give you guys my handles in a second if you want to know more about that. But I'm very, very selective with that. So if you just want to expand your intuition without necessarily all of the business strategy to go along with it, I'm creating, first of all, this challenge called the Wildly Intuitive Challenge that will probably be out like right as this podcast is launching. If you're interested in any of these, the best thing you can do is just to follow me on Instagram. I'm super active on there. And that is at Daria.Knysh, so Daria.Knysh. I know it'll be in the show notes. And just DM me. So I'd love to know like what your biggest takeaway from this was, what else you want to know about intuition, and just anything else you want to share with me, like maybe an intuitive experience that you had either as a kid or recently. And let's say whether you trusted it or didn't trust it, because that's always fun to hear.
You were talking and I can't stop smiling because we have different like faith inclinations, but I can relate so much to everything that you say, because when we are better, when we are performing to a higher standard, we can serve other people better. We can show up better. So it's not about removing yourself from the world necessarily, like eat, pray, love, and take a year-long trip to Europe and figure yourself out. But you can do it in your daily life, and the people that you're going to serve, whether it's your clients, your family, your husband, your boyfriend, your friends, your sister, your kids, whatever, they're going to be better because they're going to get a better experience out of you. So that's the amazing benefit of really working and improving that aspect of you.
Yeah, and that's part of what being unapologetically yourself is really all about. It's becoming more of who you want to be, but also having radical self-compassion for yourself and others, because we're all human and we all make mistakes and none of us are trying to be perfect, because that wouldn't be fun anyway. Think about movies. Like, we wouldn't want a movie to have no struggle or conflict. That would be so boring. We'd be so predictable. So
every time I cry, I'm like, oh my God, this is going to look amazing for my lifetime movie.
That's amazing. Like,
great.
This is good material for my future TED Talk.
Well, Daria, thank you so much for your time. Please, if you're listening to this, still loving this conversation and you want to know more, please feel free to DM Daria. Let me know if you want us to do a part two with Q&A. We would love to do that. Thank you so much for joining me, Daria. I'll have all your information below.
Thank you. This was so much fun. I loved it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I know it's full with information, and this is one episode where you're probably gonna want to go back and just re-listen, and don't worry, I have the post for you. You can go to fairlybold.com/intuitive-business and you can read about today's interview. It was so good. So bookmark the blog post, listen to this episode again, make sure that you take all this information in. Of course, as always, I want to encourage you to take whatever works for you, whatever you feel applies to your life. As always, I just want to give you amazing resources that are going to enhance your daily life. Don't forget about Flowdesk. I am super serious about email marketing for anyone today, 2020, almost 2021. Remember, just go to bit.ly/bold email and get started with 50% off your subscription. Of course, I want to hear from you. If you have friends and your community is interested in growing their career and their business with intuition, this episode is going to help them so much. So share it in your stories. Remember, sharing is caring, so you're going to care for them with this episode. Of course, I'm going to leave all Daria's info below. I can't wait to see you next time. I love you so much.